This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Senate Transportation Committee will come to order. Welcome, everyone. Please double check to make sure that your electronics are turned to the shush mode. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Senator Crabtree?
Here.
Heinert? Shane Fish?
Here.
Simmons?
Here.
Zickman?
Here.
Castleberry? Duval?
Here. And we do have a quorum. We also have two pages. Ladies, would you please come up and introduce yourselves?
My name is Maya Vandenberg. I'm from Cologne, and after high school, I plan to attend BYU Idaho to study biology and sociology.
Are you a senior?
Yes, I am.
All right, good morning. My name is Olivia Breen. I'm a senior at Wagner High School. Next year in the fall, I'm going to go to SDSU, major in political science, double minor in history, education, and business.
Thank you, ladies. We do have minutes from our last meeting. Is there a motion?
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Crabtree, seconded by Shane Fish to approve the minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, the minutes are approved. This morning we have an update from the Department of Revenue, which sounds kind of odd at first blush, but the Division of Motor Vehicles is kind of a big deal for the Transportation Committee. So thank you, Ms. Yeager, and take it away.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for letting us come up. We like to think we're a big deal, but we also know we're not. So I will go ahead and share my screen for those people online. For those of you that may not know me, my name is Rose Yeager. I'm the director of the Motor Vehicle Division. I've been director for about 3 years. Before that, for about seven, I was the legal attorney that handled all of motor vehicles things for the Department of Revenue. So I've been working with motor vehicles now for over 10 years. It's not something I expected in law school, but now we're here. With me today, I have my Deputy of Policy and Procedure, I think I said that in the right order, Monica Weishuttle, and Ashley Zilverberg, who is the supervisor over my information section, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes. So here's our mission. It really boils down to we're trying to help the citizens of the state of South Dakota in as efficient a manner as we can while being as polite as we can. Obviously, sometimes they don't like to hear what we have to say, but we'll deliver that in the nicest way possible. So what do? We have a lot of things under our umbrella at Motor Vehicles. The biggest thing and the thing we're probably the most known for is title processing. So anytime you buy a vehicle and you exchange titles, that's coming to our office. So you'll see here our numbers for the last 3 years, and what I really wanted to point out is the numbers for last year. We received 445,000 titles last year. That is, I have data easily accessible to me back to 2016, and that was right at 400,000. So we were at 45,000 more than we've ever received since 2016. So you'll see we did not come close to processing. I mean, 414 is still more than we've ever processed in a year as well. But we had some additional backlog there. We have 13 title processors that handle processing all of these titles. So over the course of the last couple of years, as every industry has had, we've had health issues that have kept processors at home. During COVID, we were lucky. We got down to 5 days because we were actually processing at home. So we strive to maintain that 9 to 18 day title turnaround once it hits our office. With the backlog this year, we were a little higher than that at times, but we are within that range right now. Excise taxes, also a pretty big deal for you guys. That's what comes in to go into the state highway funding. So you'll see in the past between the last 2 years, we had a 23.4% increase. Fairly significant, but when you look at how many more titles we got in, it makes sense. And anybody that's gone anywhere in the last year or so to buy vehicles, you know they don't have them to sell. Lots of dealers are selling them as fast as they're getting them, so it makes sense. Registration and license plates. We have 143 different license plate types. That's quite a few. The thing that I always like to stress is if you add a plate, you're generally adding two to this list because you're adding one for motorcycles and one for automobiles because we make a motorcycle version of each of them unless we're told not to by statute. So we had 1.6 million, a little above that, in registrations last year, which was about an 8.5% increase over the previous year. And then our revenue was also up 8% over the previous year. And registration money, for those of you that may not know, is generally money that stays with the counties to use on county roads. This is one of the things I love to highlight because I think it's been great for us the last couple years, is our internet and kiosk renewals. So last year I came here and told you that we were getting new kiosks and more of them. That picture on the side is kind of what they look like if you haven't seen them. They also have a blue glow bar around them. Like, if you go to a store and you miss it, I would be impressed because it is very bright. So we have 10 additional machines. Last year, we had 268,000 registrations renewed online or through the kiosk, with a larger portion be done on kiosk than online. And we think that's largely due to the fact that people like being able to walk away from that kiosk with their stickers and their registration cards. So it's just that added convenience for them. And this fiscal year was a 10% increase over the previous year. I think we were even higher of an increase that year. So we're seeing a large, steady increase in their use. This graph is one of my favorite, 180% in 5 years. So we've done a lot of pushing on these machines to give our customers additional access to these services. So those 10 new machines went to 8 new cities, and then 2 machines were put in cities with higher populations that just needed additional help for their county treasurers. The locations are listed on that website there. So for calendar year 21, which I know we run on a fiscal generally, but I started collecting data at calendar year, so that's what you get this year. It was $13.4 million in revenue we brought in on those machines. So they're performing really well for us. I know at one point our Hy-Vee machine in Sioux Falls was actually the highest performing machine in the nation. So they get used very well. Because of that, we were able to increase the transactions that we offer. So now you can update your contact information on them, which is very convenient because nobody wants to go stand in a line for an hour to just change their address. You can renew your registrations, report your vehicle as sold, print out a seller's permit, and now you can also renew your driver's license or get a duplicate driver's license. That's something that we worked with DPS to get added to it. I can tell you from personal experience, my husband used it a few weeks ago. It works great. So if anybody needs a driver's license and you're in that in-between, I think it's every 10 you have to go get your picture. So if you're at that 5 year, you can go to the kiosk and get that done. Yep.
Is there a user fee?
Madam Chair, there is a credit card fee. It's 2.25% of whatever the fee is. That is the same as what we do on the portal as well, our internet transactions. So here I wanted to talk about some of the additional fees that you may be seeing at the counties. One of those, the biggest one and most recognizable, is the wheel tax. So they are required, most counties have a wheel tax, 60 counties in fact, so we have 6 that do not. They are required to have a wheel tax in order to apply for some of the state grants that are handed out by the Department of Transportation. So we're seeing more of them apply for that. Madam Chair, those 6 are Buffalo, Harding, Hyde, Jones, McPherson, and Ogallala Lakota. So last year, fiscal year 21, they collected almost $19 million in wheel tax. And once again, this is all county money. It stays with the county to be used on their projects. So last year I won, I wonder if I can move this. There. Now you can actually see the numbers. Last year you guys passed an administration fee that applies to title transactions that are solely mail-in. So that person is not coming to the county to do any part of that process. So that is a $25 fee. The counties have permission to enact an ordinance to do that. They do not have to charge it. So we have had 11 counties take advantage of it so far. So they seem to be appreciating that transaction costs. Next slide here is the information section and customer service. This is really the most public-facing section in our division. They handle basically all of the customer calls that come in, including our county calls. So county has someone at the county that at their counter that doesn't, they don't know how to handle the transaction, they're calling the information section to get a help with that transaction. So they handled almost 67,000 calls last year. Abandoned calls, we had about 3,600 of them. Those are calls that they call in, they either drop off and they don't leave voicemail, so we can't contact them back. So that's a 3.5% abandon rate. We try to keep it under 3. We also have added live chat as of 2020, so we're doing about 7,200 of those a year as well. And it really depends on whether our phones are down on how high our live chat numbers are. Some of the counties do prefer that live chat option as well because they can drop the documents into the chat so we can see what they're looking at. So there are 10 individuals in this section handling all of that workload. They also handle any of the correspondence answers that are sent to the department. So if we write for something on a title transaction, they're handling that when it comes back in. They handle all the special plate applications, so the military plate applications, things like that. And they handle all the return titles and correspondence in that section as well. Next up is motor fuel. As most of you probably know, we are a tax at the rack state, and what that means is our tax is pre-collected. So the supplier, when it comes out of a pipeline, is remitting that tax to the state of South Dakota, passing it on to their customers. So when you go buy at the pump, that tax is already included in that price, so as is the federal tax. So we have three motor fuel agents and a supervisor that oversee all the 17 different license types. There are currently 3,144 licensees in the state of South Dakota, and they brought in about $211 million last year in motor fuel revenues. That stayed fairly consistent with the year before. I think it was like 1% increase, or perhaps even a less than 1%. Dealer licensing. So we also handle all the used, new, snowmobile, motor, manufactured home, mobile home, and boat dealer licensees here in the state of South Dakota. We have 4 agents that oversee all of the licensees, so all 1,356 of them. They each have a territory that they handle. They handle all of the questions that may come from the dealers, the training of the dealers, inspections of the dealers, and then oftentimes consumer complaints on a dealer start with them. This is our alphabet soup section, as I always refer to them, because it is a challenge to make sure I remember what all these acronyms mean. So this is the motor carrier service section. They handle anything that is large trucks over the road, generally interstate. So IFTA is the International Fuel Tax Agreement. That is where if you buy fuel in Minnesota, then you drive all the way across the state of South Dakota without buying fuel. We wouldn't get any of that tax revenue. Through IFTA, we do. So you pay the portion you drove on our roads based on mileage. So we have 2,831 IFTA licensees. You can see our revenue was a little under $1.3 million, which was up about 17% from the previous year. Then you have the registration portion of motor carrier, which is the international registration plan. There are about 2,300 licensees for that program. That is if you are registered in, say, Colorado as your base state, but South Dakota is one of those states that you drive in frequently and you have miles here, we get a portion of that registration cost. So that's how we divvy that up, so it's shared equally among the states and other jurisdictions. This is not even part of the alphabet soup. We also have the HVUT tax that we have to cover in that section. That is the heavy vehicle use tax. It is a federal tax. For anybody that may farm, you probably have to fill out a 2290 once a year and file that. We are required to get copies of that to prove that you filed it and paid any associated taxes with that. If we do not do that, and we are audited every 5 to 7 years, we can be found to not be administrating the program correctly and lose up to 25% of our road funding. So it is a very important program. We have one staff that does an amazing job monitoring it. So we, on occasion, have some hot customers that don't think they should have to turn in that form, but we explain road funding is important. So then you have the UCR, which is the Unified Carrier Registration Fees. That's another federal registration cost. We help collect and administer that and make sure they are, we audit that to make sure they're reporting on the right fleet size, so the right tax. And then we do get a portion of that fund back. So last year we got $882,000 back from that program. There are 5 full-time employees that manage this program and a supervisor, so they do a great job. We have a lot of licensees. It's a pretty complicated area. They have to know a lot of different laws, so they are doing great.
Quick question. So the fees that are collected go into the State Highway Fund?
Madam Chair, that is correct. For most cases, obviously, we do have the exchange with other states for their mileage, so that goes into their funds, but ours do. And then, just so everybody knows, if you didn't see the press releases, the trucking website was just updated. So if you want to go look at that, it looks nice and clean now. It's the sdtruckinfo.sdgov. So I thought I'd just share a few things that we're currently looking at or tracking or working on. So we have the license plate reissue. Last year or the year before, we went to a 7-year plate cycle. So that means in 2023, we'll be issuing new license plates for our standard county. Emblems are the ones that you're going to see the most. So those will be reissued. We're working on finalizing a design now. We will actually start printing this year to make sure we have enough stock to go into next year. We are also working on our modernization project. That includes the customer portal update that you see down there in the corner to make that more user-friendly for our customers using the internet services that we provide. We are tracking electric vehicles because we know that that is something that the legislators tend to be interested in. We make sure we have the numbers of how many we currently have licensed, things like that, so we can help you guys with the information a little bit better. E-title and e-odometer are things that we are looking at. They are things that other states are already in the process of doing or have implemented. We are kind of letting them be the guinea pigs and work out the kinks so we can figure out the best and easiest way to do it here if that is what the legislature were to choose. And that would mean that instead of having to sign an odometer statement, a secure odometer statement, you'd be able to e-sign one and give that to your customer. And then e-title means you'd be able to transfer that title electronically with paper never having to exchange hands. And you would no longer have to worry about losing that title in your safe or in your truck or wherever you put your titles and then have to apply for duplicate when you want to go sell it. Explore down there, that is the system that handles our motor carrier things, our IFTA, our IRP. I think I told you guys last 2 years ago we got a grant to help us get into a consortium for that. And what that does is it allows us to pay far less than we would have to otherwise to get a much better system for our customers to use. And that actually will launch this year yet. Then we have autonomous vehicles. They are kind of on everybody's mind. You see them in the marketplace already. We're just watching it to see whether we'll be required to do anything, like mark a title that it's autonomous or mark a registration that it's autonomous, so when a trooper pulls them over, they know like the level of autonomy that vehicle has. So those are the main things we are working on. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. As this young lady knows, we worked together for the last few years on different license plates, and I think I've had 3 license plate bills that I put through, and they're very easy to work with, etc. Can you take us through when you change the license plate, the color and etc., how often, who does that for you?
Madam Chair. So right now we don't have any standardization really in statute for those extra special plates. We try to cycle through them on the similar cycles as our standard plates, so 7 to 10 years. We're trying to replace those because they are generally not reflective at that point, which means they're less safe. So when we go through the process of reissuing one, we start with our vendor. We have a vendor that does all of our plate design. That is ITI, which stands for Intellectual Telecommunications Corporation. Sorry, I could not remember that one. Too many acronyms this morning. So they help us. We kind of give them a general idea of what we're looking for, and sometimes it is real general. They are wizards with some of the advice I give them with what they come back for with designs. They'll do several mock-ups, and then we work with other state agencies to make sure that it's approved all the way up the chain that it needs to be to get that design approved, and then we get them printed and put out.
You do some of the work with 3M, right? I mean, 3M does some of your work?
Madam Chair, 3M is our sheeting provider. So on our standard county plates and our emblem plates, that sheeting is pre-printed, so they would pre-print that sheeting. On the specialized plates, those are printed on demand, so it is blank sheeting that's printed. ITI handles all of our printing. It's done at Pheasantland Industries. So they handle all of our inventory, printing of plates, making sure the plates get where they're supposed to be. So 3M is really just the supplier of our sheeting.
Just a comment, Madam Chair. My last one, I think. You know what? I'm just going to bring out the one. The plates that I had, the 3, the specialty plates, etc., for the specialty vehicles. The only concern that I hear from people out there are, I don't know who you have do the designing, but is the color, etc., of some of the plates, especially the specialized plates. Those vehicles are very, very expensive vehicles that go out. They drive them all over the country. They're marketing South Dakota. So the comments that I've received from the people that use them are have them design something. And this is, and we're not trying to be mean on it, have them design something that we can, it can also market South Dakota. The existing ones are pretty ugly. They're pretty ugly. So I don't know who you have design them, but I know that Art Nordstrom sent in 6 design, copies of stuff that he made to help you along to design those plates. Some very, very nice looking, etc. So they're marketing South Dakota is one of the things that they're doing when they're taking these expensive cars all over. So just a request, I guess, is when you do the design next time, let's look at the look and the marketing and the design for South Dakota. So thank you. But they're very happy with the plates.
That actually is a question I had written down. You said that we will be issuing new plates. Can you tell us the design process and who gets to pick the final design?
Madam Chair, the design process, like I mentioned, generally we start with Mount Rushmore is on our standard county plates. So I tell them, Mount Rushmore, let's try this and this, and they give me several different options. The governor has the final say on those plates, so she will be picking them. We work with Department of Tourism to get our designs. So,
all right. You mentioned electric vehicles. We added a registration fee last year. Can you tell us how many electric vehicles were registered?
Madam Chair, we have about 300 currently. Now, that doesn't mean all 300 of those paid that fee last year because of when it was implemented. I think the last number I saw was about 10. I think it might have been 15. It's on my other notepad. I think it's 15 through the end of last calendar year was collected from that fee. But once again, that is missing some of them because of when it was implemented and the fact that you can early renew. So up to 90 days before, they'll renew early to avoid increases like that.
Questions from anyone else?
All right, I have one final question. So what's the biggest challenge that DMV faces?
Madam Chair, I would say our biggest challenge this last year was just staffing. I mean, we're like everyone else, keeping people around to work for us, especially in our like title processor positions. We've got some fantastic processors, but we've had a couple staff actually pass away this year that had to then be replaced. And obviously you can't replace that kind of knowledge that was lost. So that has been probably our biggest challenge, and keeping that backlog down when we have those things happen.
Thank you. Any further questions from any committee member? Yeah, you really do. Thank you for that. Looking ahead, we will not be meeting on Monday morning. So if any of you want to spend a little extra time at home. Okay. Yeah, I see Dad over here grinning.
She's my favorite chair.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, you're going to make me blush. All right. Then on Wednesday, just so you know, we will be holding the confirmation hearing for Joel Junt as Secretary of the Department of Transportation. And then we will hold a hearing on two bills. Senate Bill 87, I'm going to refer to as the survey bill. And it doesn't deal at all with the change to the international foot. It's the coordinate system. Senate Bill 87, and then also House Bill 1003, which is our annual update to the federal motor carrier statutes. Anything else to come before the committee? Senator Shane Fish, do you have a motion? Is there a second? I think we have to do a roll call on this, I was told, because we have a remote person.
Senator Crabtree?
Aye.
Heiner is excused. Shane Fish?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Zickman?
Aye.
Castleberry is excused. And Duval?
Aye. That motion carried. We are prevailed. Thank you.